bless the people who will use these gifts and turn it into your love here in our community and abroad. Amen. Our readings.
The first reading is from the book of Psalms, chapter 147, beginning at verse 1. Psalm 147. Praise the Lord! How good it is to sing praises to our God! How pleasant and fitting to praise Him! The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Praise the Lord. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Kia mau tonu tāna kupu kia tātou. Te rongopai tāpū ki te ritenga, a māka te tahi upoko ka timata rua te kauma iwa. The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 1 beginning at verse 29. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoemiti, te karoria ki te atua. Jesus heals many. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Jesus prays in a solitary place. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee and preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Te rongopai tēnei a te karaiti. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoemiti tia ia te kupumana.
Thanks, Kendall. Well, kia ora everybody. How are you this morning? All right. Hello, hello. Get a nice enthusiastic wave from Wes at the back there. Oh, and there's another one there from Steve. Excellent. Yeah. Ah, oh, Joseph. Bless you. Bless you, my son. Lovely. Very good. Yeah, it's really nice to have today a sunny day that's not too hot, isn't it? Yeah. So ideal for climbing Hemi Martenga. We've got one team going up already, I know, and I'm quite tempted as well. But it'll be a good day for that, so I hope you have fun. We've got a passage this morning in Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel I really like, not just because it's Mark, and that's my name too. It is my Gospel. But, you know, I really like Mark's Gospel. Well, I'll tell you why in a sec, but another thing is, you know how there are kind of different symbols? You know, in the book of Revelation, there's those kind of the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the face of a man, the face of an ox, the face of an eagle, face of a lion. And there are all these, you know, angelic beings standing before the throne of God. Well, each one has been taken to represent a gospel down the ages. And so you'll often see, you know, in churches and stuff, you'll see, particularly in stained glass windows or whatever, or, you know, in art and all sorts of stuff, you'll see those four things, and they symbolize one of the gospels. And so usually Matthew's gospel is represented by the face of a man. Mark's gospel is the face of a lion. And so I'm doing my best to get that shaggy lion look. And then Luke is an ox, and John's the eagle, because it flies, you know, up high, closest to heaven. And, you know, John's gospel starts with heaven coming down to earth in Jesus, and, you know, and there's reasons for them all. But just thought I'd say that as an aside. So Mark the lion, his gospel is really different to the others in the way that it begins and the way it moves. It moves so fast. It's the shortest gospel, and he doesn't mess about. He gets straight in there. He goes, the first line is, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know? Boom, and he's straight in. And it's like, John the Baptist comes, and then Jesus is here, and wham, we're straight into the story. Whereas the other gospels start sedately, you know, like I say, for example, Matthew's gospel starts with that long genealogy, doesn't it? And, you know, and Jesus is descended from all these people, and it goes through all these names, and it's very careful, and it's great because, you know, people reading that, especially Jewish people reading that, are like, ooh, good, you know, I can see names of some of, you know, the famous ancestors there and all that kind of thing. You know, and it takes a while to get going. Luke's gospel, do you remember how that starts? What was that? Yeah? No? Yeah? Luke's gospel, I mean, there is a little genealogy, but that's a little bit later. And Christmas story. Yeah, sorry, I didn't hear. Yeah, and they start with, well, actually, John the Baptist story first. So John the Baptist's birth, even before he gets to Jesus' birth. There's this whole bit about, you know, his cousin, Jesus' cousin first, and his birth. And then there's Jesus' birth, you know, and then kind of like a little bit of growing up or whatever, you know, temple story or whatever. And then you're kind of getting into it. And John's gospel starts up in heaven, you know, and all this sort of conceptual stuff of in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and, you know, and then eventually, you know, and comes down and dwells among us and blah, blah, blah. Utterly different is Mark's gospel. It's just, bam, in there. Beginning of the gospel, Jesus Christ, Son of God. John came, Jesus came. Let's do some stuff. And it's like, it is really like some kind of, you know, reportage for sort of, is that, yeah. He's kind of like following this person who's doing all these things. Yeah, following a politician or following a, I don't know, traveling something or other or a, you know, I don't know. He's just running around trying to keep up with Jesus. And he's got his camera, or in this case, his stylus or whatever, you know, or he's remembering it and writing it down afterwards. But he is chasing around, and it's all go. It's all action. Mark uses the word and heaps, right? It's just like, and this, and that. And he uses the word immediately and immediately over 40 times. It's like, immediately this, and immediately that. We got two immediatelys in our reading just now, but the whole thing starts, and then it's like say, John, and then Jesus, and then, you know, Jesus gets baptized straight away. By verse 10 of chapter 1, he's already getting baptized, you know, and it's immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening, and blah, 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 and then immediately the Spirit impelled him to go out into the wilderness, and he goes into the wilderness, and he's tempted, and then immediately this, and immediately that, you know, immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going a little further, he saw James and John, and immediately he called them, and they went into the Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, and they were amazed at his teaching, and blah, 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 you know, and it's just like, ding, 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 immediately. And then immediately, the news about him went everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee, and then our passage, which is only verse 29 of chapter 1, and immediately it starts. That's the first line. After they had come out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. And in, blah, 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 you know, it's just like, how do you keep up with this crazy pace? You know, and Jesus is just going for it. And Mark is emphasizing the fact that, whoa, this was like a kind of whirlwind of activity. Immediately this, immediately that. And in the middle of all the immediatelys, right at the beginning of the gospel as we are, sort of in our passage today, just verse 29 of chapter 1, and he heals many and many come round and, you know, there are all these healings going on. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. They're like, where is he? Where is he? And why are they saying that? That was a little bounce, wasn't it? You should replay that. But Simon and his companions hunted for him. And they found him. You know, he's managed to actually get away for a few hours from all the immediately. And he's had that moment. And then even then, people are hounding him. They come and they find him. And they found him. They said to him, everyone is looking for you. What are you doing? There's so much going on, you know. You should be out there. And Jesus says, yeah, okay, well, let's go somewhere else now to the towns nearby in order that I may preach there also. For this is what I came for. And, you know, and he goes out into the synagogues preaching and casting out demons. And that's how our little bit of passage ends. But in the middle of all this intense activity, Jesus does not feel guilty or bad about taking time out. He's like, yeah, yeah, we can keep doing that. We can do more immediately. So we've only got through like 10 of them so far, and we've got another 30 to go. There's plenty to do, yeah, but I do not for one moment feel bad about just taking a bit of time out to be with my Father in the middle of all the action. I really love that, eh? It's okay to stop in the middle of all the busyness, and not feel like we have to keep going immediately. But actually, and not feel guilty about going, well, actually, I'm just going to take some time out and be with Jesus. And then go back into it again. So, I wonder how, you know, I'm kind of thinking two things. One is, how busy are our lives? We go through different seasons in life. Maybe you're in a less busy season. Or maybe, you know, we're just quite used to being busy and keeping ourselves busy. Even if we're not being paid to be busy anymore, we kind of can often feel like, yeah, but I need to keep going, keep, you know, doing this, doing that, doing that. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what I think Jesus is saying. This is what this passage is saying. It is okay to do the immediately stuff. There's nothing wrong with being busy. As long as we remember as well. At the same time, while that is good, it is also good, and there is nothing wrong with not being busy and with taking time out to just be in creation, to just be with the Creator, to just be with God, with our Father, with Jesus, to enjoy, like climbing Hemi Martenga this afternoon, and to look out and to see, as you're climbing up, to see, maybe you'll get a wisp or two of mist. Sometimes you get that up the top. I don't know what the weather will be like up there now. And to see the beautiful mosses on the trunks of the trees and the epiphytes, you know, and then to get up there and to see out over the valleys, you know, into Rekarangi, which means gateway to heaven, apparently. And just, you know, to see all those things and to enjoy that is okay. It is good to be with our God, with our Creator. And we find it, some of us, easier to do it one way than another, or sometimes we mix it up a bit. Sometimes being outside is the way to be with our Creator, isn't it? Sometimes it's actually having no distractions and kind of withdrawing and finding a lovely little corner in the house or something like that, or a spot somewhere that's a little bit more private. And anything in between. All sorts of ways to be with our our God. But I think that's what our passage is saying this morning, that it's not one or the other. You know, it's actually okay to be busy, but it's also okay to take time aside. And more than that, it is necessary to do that, to take time out. Yeah, and maybe it's necessary to be busy at times as well. It is, really, I suppose. Does that make sense? So I just want us to know that in the middle of all this sort of activity and all that kind of thing, Jesus is more than happy, with no guilt whatsoever, to take time out and be with the Father and then jump back into all the action again afterwards. And if you keep reading through, you'll see that he just keeps taking that time out. I don't want to sort of say the obvious, but obviously we'll burn ourselves out if we don't take that time out. And if we're in a season of life where we are less busy, and maybe we used to be more busy, don't feel guilty about that. I don't think we should feel guilty about that either. We've had our busy times, and now we have a less busy time, and that's good. It's a gift from God. We can see it as a gift from God. I remember my grandma, who died at the age of 103, as I've said before. But, you know, she used to live in Matamata in the Waikato. And she had a rocking chair, which we've now got at home, and that was her prayer chair. And sometimes she'd sit on one of the comfy chairs by the window, and sometimes she'd sit on her rocking chair. And every day she would pray for all 52 of her grandchildren. She'd sit on her rocking chair, and I was one of them, and she'd pray for me. And I know that her prayers 100% saved me in a number of, you know, from going down the wrong path a number of times. I know that. I could feel it. I was on the other side of the world from her, and I knew she was praying for me, and I knew she prayed for me every day, and it was just such a blessing. She wasn't busy. I mean, yeah, she was up to stuff, but she, you know, she was a cheeky old thing. But she wasn't busy at that period of her life. She had a super busy earlier life. You know, she was a missionary in India and all that kind of thing, but she had got to this point of her life where sometimes she'd sit by the window, or very often, every day, and watch the birds. She absolutely loved the birds. And they would, like, you know, she knew them. And she would be like, oh, it's that cheeky chap, you know, and this one, and oh, that one's always a bit greedy, or that one's, you know. And she'd know the birds as they came. And she enjoyed them, and she saw them as, I guess, a little bit like Francis of Assisi, as her brothers and sisters, you know, that the Lord had given her. And she enjoyed God's creation. And then she'd, as I say, sit in a prayer chair and pray for us. So maybe we're in a less busy season of our lives. If so, I think let's invite one another and invite ourselves to see it as a gift from God, as a time we've done some busy stuff, and now we get to be with our Lord and enjoy some of his creation and take some time to pray and love and support people around us. Yeah. So let's not feel guilty about busyness or taking time aside in the middle of the busyness. And remember to keep the two together. It's not either or. Yeah. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for your gifts to us. We thank you that you do call us to take time aside with you in the middle of busyness. We pray that we wouldn't, just that guilt wouldn't be on the table, as it were, when it comes to these things, but we would joyfully take time out, time aside, that we'd enjoy the gift of each day that you've given us. Lord, we do pray for those who are feeling stressed and busy and just overworked, overrun, overwrought, that you would bring peace into our lives and that we would find those times and not feel guilty at all about them, taking time aside to be with you and to enjoy creation. We pray for those who have a lot of the gift of not being busy, and we ask that again there would be no guilt there, but we would know that it is good to be with you, and that you would meet us in each day and in the gift of each new day. And we ask these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen.